Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Week 8 was not great, folks. The black and gold Saints falling 23-3 at home to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in their first NFC matchup of the year, and it did not go well. Here with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Make sure you stop by, say who dat to the Cajun Cannon. 5,400 vets in Metairie. Stop by for some wings, a good swamp burger, Cajun Cannon, or you can drown your sorrows after a tough matchup in the Dome. It started out rough right from the beginning with a turnover in the first drive of the game.
Well, I don't know. Don't you have to score to win?
That'd be good.
I mean, how many games? Maybe you can win 3-2, but you know, if you're only scoring 3 points, you have to score. And you know, nothing to write home about, because our defense now, great goal line stance. When you look at that, that was monumental. But when you know we get a great goal line stance, then we get a pick six. You know, you
right. Give
you
them take, a short field.
You take one step forward, two steps back, then all of a sudden you're losing 7-0. So it's just a lot of undisciplined. We have, like, you know, 8 penalties. We have still stupid penalties. We don't know how to line up. We in the NFL, we pros. They've been practicing OTAs, mini camp, training camp. You look alignment. It's amazing, and it's so frustrating when you get to that point. But the bottom line, come on. We could still be +1 and +2 might not win a game. But you -3, how many games are you going to win when you lose the turnover margin like that? And, you know, as of late, this is not an opinion. The Bucs have had our number. The Bucs team has now won 6 of the past 7 meetings. Are we as good as the Bucs? I don't think so, as of late. You know, when you look at that, and when I do my math on that, but, you know, the bottom line is that, and the Superdome has not been our best friend. The Bucs have now won 4 of their last contests played in the Superdome. I still think we're going to beat Tampa Bay. We always play Tampa better in Tampa than the Superdome. I just have
keeping
a feeling.
Keeping the faith.
Yeah, it's like when we beat Tom Brady 9-0 one time in Tampa. You remember Taysom Hill turning around the game when he blocked that punt in Tampa. So for some reason, I don't know, we don't play the Bucs, you know, good in the Superdome. It's just a track record. We played a lot of games, you know, since 1977. We've met. We have 40 wins. And now we have 27 losses. But, you know, the Bucs overall, out of all the NFL teams we've played, we have the best winning percentage against that an opponent. We had a way big lead, but not as much as of late, when you see what's occurred there. But when you look at it, minus three now on the turnover margin in the game. We minus two for the season. It wasn't that long ago. Remember, we were plus five. Remember, five straight possessions we got to take away against the Giants? We were plus five.
Riding high.
And it wasn't that long ago, and now we minus three. I mean, or minus two for the season. So, but you look at the magic number, truly is like four. Right now, what do you mean, Bobby? Well, we had four turnovers today, and we had four turnovers against the Bears. So, I don't know. Are we going to have four turnovers against the Rams? Well, I can tell you, you're going to get shellacked. We're not going to have a fighting chance if you have that. Now, when you look at this, what can we hang our hat on now as a Saints fan? There is no aspect of the game at which right now they truly excel. You think maybe in training camp, oh, groupie, I tell you what, I'll kick it, he don't miss. And you know, he made a kick today. I'm glad he made it where, you know, we got 3 points. But there's nothing really, what do we excel at right now? Nothing to hang our hats on when the going gets tough. I don't know, it seems like, what can go wrong will go wrong. When you have something like positive go, one step back, one step forward, two steps back. But look where we at offensively. And we are struggling. This is going into the game, and we didn't do any help ourselves. 24th in the league in total offense, 29th in scoring offense. Well, you know.
That's going to drop.
Yes. So you got to score points. 19 in total defense, kind of middle pack, and then 27 scoring defense. You look at scoring offense and defense, nothing to write home about. And then you look, we just in the bottom half of the league in almost every other major situational category, whether it be third down, goal line, red zone, whatever, you know, it might be. And you look, I had thought, I didn't think this would be a good run. Like, I thought best case scenario coming to the game, I thought we would be, instead of 1-6, best case, like 3-4. Okay, so you look 3-4. I didn't think that we'd beat Tampa Bay once, but I didn't necessarily think at home. So I thought we realistically, let's say if we're winning, we'd have lost today, so that'd be 3-5, 3-6. So after the Rams, is that 10 games? So we'd be like 3-7. You know, so when I look at that, the outcome on that, you know, here, because the Tampa Bay is a Super Bowl contender in the NFC like the Rams. And that's what we have on deck. So I think we're going to be 1-8. It just is what it is. I mean, I truly look at that, and which would be, you know, okay, we'll be playing like young players. We all be training in the right direction. If we're 1-8, that would be the Saints organization, the franchise, second worst start in franchise history. Whoa. Second worst start?
Let me guess. We got to go back to the Ditka days.
1-8. I don't know when it is. I know it's the second worst start in franchise history. Okay. I think Jeff Duncan had put that out there. 1-8. And that's a strong possibility. Now, it would be interesting to see. We go at Carolina. But if you even look what occurred in like the Bears game. This is why I'm talking about like four turnovers. The Saints ended the Bears game even last week as, you know, oh, we're all injured. We're not healthy. That's why, you know, look, Tampa Bay, who's more beat up than Tampa Bay and the 49ers? And look, and they're winning. But the Saints ended the Bears game as one of the healthiest and, you know, least mistake-prone teams. We were not turning over the football, if you remember. Now, as of late, yes, we have. But we were one of the most least mistake-prone teams in the league. And we had committed just four turnovers going to the Bears games. And now the last two games, what, we have eight? We got four against the Bears and four today against the Bucks. Well, obviously, that's not winning football. And we definitely not good enough where you end up winning games or you're not even going to be highly competitive or have a chance to win. You know, like I said, right now we're minus three in the turnover margin in the game, minus two for the season. I don't know. You'll never win. I'm not saying you – not never. That's not too strong a word. But you have 51 passing attempts. What that means, you're playing catch-up. And the NFL is too good. You're not going to do anything. And to me, I'm going to ask Kellen Moore this on the coach's show. The game was still close, but we still – why am I not attempting to run the football? It's because we can't run. You still got to attempt to run the football to help out the young quarterbacks. We only ended up with 15 rushing attempts. Now, you look at Rashid Shaheed and Chris Olave. We are targeting them. They had 24 targets, and that's a lot. That's almost like two games worth. So Rashid Shaheed had 12 targets. He had 9 receptions. Olave, 12 targets, 8 receptions. But Rashid only averaged a speedster, only 8.3 yards a catch. And then Chris Olave, 7.9 yards. So, I mean, come on. You want to talk about chunk plays, explosive plays? No, but we had, I think, one pass play to Olave. Was it 23 yards? I want to say
28.
That was 28. That was over 20 yards.
Yeah.
We just don't have any of those, and it's just so frustrating. The bright spot where I thought the crowd was into the game. And
crowd?
Yeah, then there was no damn 70,000 at the game. When they say 70,000, I thought I was watching a damn preseason game. I don't know. I'm telling you the truth. If you look at who was in the stands, there was a lot of frustrated empty seats. It kind of looked like the LSU game in the middle of the third quarter.
Hey.
Maybe not that bad when the fans are leaving. But if I look at something to cheer for, and this was outstanding, our goal line stands. I mean, when you look when that occurred, it's 0-0. We haven't a goal. I don't know if I haven't seen a goal line that stance like that in a long time. And to show you that the Bucs were so arrogant that they were just running the same play right up the middle. We're going to score. We're going to score. Remember, they had 5 attempts because remember they took the penalty.
Right.
Third and goal. I mean, it wasn't even a half a yard at times. It was like half a yard a foot. And there was fourth and goal. Stuff like 5 straight plays, 0 yards. And then y'all fired up. And, you know, we were -1 in a turnover margin at that point. Because remember, and I'm going to get back to that when Rattler fumbled. You got to protect that football. He gained 7 yards, but then he got it punched out. But then, wouldn't you know, I said, oh, man, we all backed up. I hope we don't get a safety. I was thinking, like, I hope they don't get us for a safety. Then we're losing 2-0.
But wait, it gets worse.
But wait, yeah. No, it got good, though. Rattler hit Camaro plus 9 yards. So we not backed up. And then the next play, Rattler batted pass, interception by Anthony Nelson.
Right, as you would say, not so fast.
Yeah, pick 6, and we're losing 7-0. So it just seems like we turn a great thing into how in the hell we losing. You know, 7-0. So when that happened, we ended up being -2 in the turnover margin. Now, I don't even know who that cat is. I think he's like a 7-year veteran, but he's not a household name for the Bucks. That Nelson guy, I want to say he's from University of Iowa. He ended up having, like, you know, 4 tackles, but 2 sacks, 2 quarterback hurries, 2 tackles for a loss, an interception, and a forced fumble. You know, it was kind of like Chase Young plus. You know how you gave the game ball to, but he's on the winning end. So when I saw that, I said, I don't know. It just seems like the ball is not bouncing our way.
And Nelson was in for an injured Hassan Reddick.
Yeah, Hassan Reddick is the household name
right. That
normally would be playing. So it shows you the depth there. With this guy, Nelson, I think Nelson definitely earned more playing time. Now, I looked at this, and people are going to ask, okay, what does Coach Moore do going forward with the quarterback? I was somewhat surprised. I had thought they might wait, not necessarily at L.A. against the Rams, but more on the road at Carolina to put Chuck to start the game. But now he's gotten wet behind the ears. He's like, okay, I've had an opportunity now to play. And, you know, if you look at it, he was warming up in the middle of the third quarter. And I was like, whoa, he's taking snaps and he's warming up. Like, you don't warm up like that in the sideline unless you're going in. Well, he went in with 3 minutes and 57 seconds left in the third quarter. But if you look at it, and, you know, you got to protect the football. And I think what's why Coach Moore said we needed a spark, because when you look at Spencer Rattler, and that in his last 6 quarters, and look how well he's protecting the ball, but it's a long season. He now has 4 interceptions and 2 fumbles lost in his last 6 quarters, and he was sacked 6 times. And then just as a team, I'm telling you, we might not win another game. If we do this, 8 turnovers in 7 quarters. So if that trend continues against the Rams, and even at the road in Carolina, you ain't winning. We need to have a Giants-type game to have a chance to win. where we're protecting the football and we're taking it away. And still, the Giants game, did we blow out the Giants? No. We were plus five. That should have been a 3-touchdown win. But it doesn't matter as long as you win. A win is a win. But it's very humbling. You know, we're all excited. We're starting division play. First division game, boy, can you maybe get off to a right foot and be 1-0 in the NFC South, even though we have two wins? But not so fast. Tampa Bay don't look invincible. You know, you could see how they play for Todd Bowles, how they're a Todd Bowles coach team, how they create turnovers. Look, 23-3, no, the game was not close when you look at that. And when you look, how about this cat? And the Bucks paid him. He's from the Woodlands, right out of Houston. You know, my brother lives over there. And Antoine Winfield went to University of Minnesota. They paid him. That dude is a ball hawk. You know why he's a thorn in the Saints' side? Remember the damn playoff game when Jerry Cook got stripped? And we lost the game? Well, guess who did it? Well, guess what he did to Chris Olave? Fumble recovered strip, that was Antoine Winfield. Now, when you look at, before we go to break, this is why it's so frustrating at times to be a local fan. You got a little optimism with Tulane, but what Tulane's going to do against Memphis? Okay, we have to wait and see because they're still in the playoff hunt. I know who's not in the playoff hunt, that being the LSU not fighting Tigers. I'd have to say.
The Sleeping Tigers.
Yeah, the Sleeping Tigers. Or the LSU Pussycats. I mean, whatever. I mean, you know, you want to give the fans hope. And between the Saints and LSU, you're miserable right now. And to show you how quickly things could change, that wasn't that long ago. I remember last year. Remember after two games, man, we waxed the Carolina Panthers. Remember that? We crushed them.
Sure.
Then all of a sudden, we crushed the Cowgirls. We were the number one scoring offense in the league. Then Philadelphia comes to town, and, you know, we still had a great opportunity to win that. You look what occurred at the end of that game. That's when McCoy went out, and then all of a sudden, look how the season fell apart.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look at LSU this year. Now, this shows you that I don't really know what the hell I'm talking about. Like, a number of experts don't know. Okay, we waxed Clemson Tigers. Oh, we whipped Clemson. We whipped Clemson. I said, man. Even if they only had four teams in the playoffs, we'd be in the playoffs. We don't need 12. And look how far where LSU's at right now. And, you know, with Coach Kelly, much is given, much is required. He's talking smack. You know, after they beat Oklahoma last year, remember? And all he said, I'm taking receipts. I'm taking receipts. You know, I'll see you in the Natty. What, you going to buy a ticket to go to the national championship? No, it is very frustrating right now for the local fans. There's no fight in the Tigers, and there's so inconsistent fight from the Saints right now.
Before we head to a break, let's pause 10 seconds and let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Hanging out here on the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Make sure you stop by, say hey to the Cajun Cannon. If you can't make it out to the Swamp Room, give us a call on the talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let the Cajun Cannon know how you're feeling after this 23-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Saints now 1-7 on the season. We'll be back with more of the Point After right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather.
It is an introvert's dream.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven. Fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
We're back here at the Point After. You can come hang out with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at 5400 Vets in Metairie at the Swamp Room. Before we get to our calls, Cajun Cannon, a bit of breaking news around the college football world. A little bit of a surprise. LSU has parted ways with head coach Brian Kelly.
Whoa, parted ways with Coach Kelly? Now, I thought maybe before the Bama game, because you have the bye week, that maybe you change coordinators or somewhere that route. Now, I'll be interested to see what that buyout is. Now, did he compromise and took a certain percentage? All I know is if somebody owed me $53 million, I ain't quitting. They have to pay me. I would stay. But maybe Coach Kelly might be a little more humble than me or something. But I don't know what the buyout. That'd be interesting to see what happened. But you can't have, an embarrassing moment like you had.
Back-to-back embarrassing moments.
Yeah. Vanderbilt should never beat LSU.
Right.
And then the Aggies taking over Tiger Stadium. Come on, that can't happen. And when you think about it, you know what's very similar to last night and today? Was wasn't the game close between the Saints and the Bucks in the first half? What was the score at halftime? Are we right there?
7-3.
7-3. What was the final score? Huh? What was it? 23-3
for the, the Saints
game. What happened last night? Oh, LSU's winning at halftime. What happened the second half? I don't know. This is back-to-back. Boy, LSU didn't come to play the second half, and so did the Saints. And so the Saints come to play the second half. No, that's interesting, when you look at that. But, it is a Saints show right now, but LSU fans are Saints fans and vice versa. So, we have to, give the news out there because the people want to know what's going on with their favorite teams or their favorite programs. The one thing that I know, and I think, people – I think football fans, we're educated here in Louisiana. And what are you doing against the top teams? The Bucks are a top team. The Rams are a top team. What are the Saints going to do against them? Not are we doing against the Jets or the Dolphins or the Titans, but you got to win those games. But, you kind of measure yourself. What are we doing against the Bucks? Well, what are we going to do against the Rams? Because you look perception. Who's potentially can represent the NFC and the Super Bowl? Well, the same thing for LSU. Who are you playing, like, top 10 teams, and what is your record? And I had said this in triple option, and that if you look at, this Coach Kelly, he was 34-13 overall, and he was 5-2 now, 5-3 this season. So he came and made the 12-team playoffs, so that was over. But if you look at that loss to Vanderbilt and how it snowballed against Texas A&M, that... You know what's Coach Kelly's record against top 10 opponents? He's now 5-11 against ranked opponents at LSU. I should say ranked opponents at LSU over the past 3.5 seasons. By comparison, Coach Kelly's predecessor, Coach O, Ed Orgeron, was 21-13 against ranked teams during his 5.5 season stint as the LSU coach. So if you just look at that number... That Coach Kelly was going into the A&M game, would have had to go 16-3 against ranked opponents just to catch Coach O. So in other words, Coach Kelly is supposed to know what the hell he's doing. He's not winning in the games that count against ranked opponents to be in the postseason. So, yeah, that'd be interesting to see. The only thing that I'm intrigued with is what is the buyout for him to move on. And, you know, always viewed him as a carpetbagger. He just felt like that
square peg round hole here. Yeah, it just didn't fit.
Yeah, I mean, the way you talk to people and all that, maybe an attitude that he was kind of like better than we were or whatever. But if you win, then they love you. Listen, Coach Saban, come on. He's from Hick Country. He's from West Virginia in the mountains, Appalachia. But what did Coach Saban do? He won. If he won, then you embrace it. The bottom line is you got to win. Doesn't matter where you come from. If you don't, then you're not one of us. And then Coach Kelly, very disappointing. And he did not walk the talk. The bottom line. Now, Kellen Moore, he's trying to walk the talk. You know, fans have asked me, do you think Kellen Moore yells at the players? I'd be shocked. And then they might look at that he's fake. I mean, Kellen Moore is not like Sean Payton. You can't, you know, your first impressions, when you come into a locker room and you're taking over a team, you got to be yourself. Now, the bottom line is you got to win. But you can't, you know, like I say, fake the funk. You cannot go in the locker room and all of a sudden, because you're not winning, he's ranting and raving and going in the meeting rooms.
Well, did you ever have a coach that presented themselves one way and was different in the locker room at all?
No. If they were nice and all that, they were always nice and we never won. I'm telling you, the coaches I won for, and Coach Mara would tell you that he was a hard-ass.
Hard-ass, yeah.
Yeah. The Dome Patrol didn't even get along with Coach Mara, but we won 12 games twice, 11 games, 10 games. You just got to win. In high school, Coach Ralph Perry, come on, they would clap, crack clipboards over your head. On Coach O would tell you on the linemen and stuff.
Yeah.
No, you got to win. All I know is this generation, Gen Z, whatever it is, I don't know how you got to be nice to the players and be friends with them and all that. Now, how do you manage that? All I know is the teams that I played for and we won, the coach was tough on us. It wasn't like all our friends and all get along. And look, June Jones helped me to the Pro Bowl. One of the best coaches I ever had. But overall with the team, he was too nice to everybody. So, I don't know, different ways to skin a cat. The bottom line is you got to win. And Coach Moore, if you win, then he's doing it right. And right now, you know what's that good? He's in charge of the offense, and we scored 3 points. No, that's not good. We still can't align right. Come on, we had whole OTAs, minicamp,
training camp. Offense has been a whole
struggle of the year. No, every game we have some alignment. We don't know where to align. Our alignment assignment, first thing, align. You pros, you got to align right. And there's veteran guys like Chris Olave, he always gets those kind of penalties. It's terrible.
Well, we're going to get back to Saints football after the break. We're going to take your calls 504-260-1870 on the Point After here at the Swamp Room in Metairie, returning after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, folks, we're back here on the Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We just saw the Black and Gold lose 23-3 in the Superdome to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also, big news, the LSU Tigers have reportedly moved on from head coach Brian Kelly, letting him go. There's been multiple reports from that. We'll keep you up to date with the latest here on the Point After as we roll on. Right now, we're going to get to our talk and text line where you can sound off with the Cajun Cannon, 504-260-1870. First up, Cajun Cannon, we got Hollywood and Thibodeau needing some therapy after this one. What's up, Hollywood?
Hello, Steve. Hello, Barbara. How y'all doing?
Hey, Hollywood Swinger, what you got? Yeah, I know you're not swinging tonight. And that was very disappointing because we were hanging there at the beginning, but not so fast.
Hey, Bobby, I want to congratulate the defense on that goal line stand. I ain't never seen that in a while, but Rattler went through a pick six, but that was for nothing, you know?
Yeah, here we are. We come up with a big stop, and then, you know, I was encouraged. I hope he don't get a safety. You know, we're so backed up. But then he goes, Rattler to Kamara, +9. And then, oh, we're not in the hole no more. And then right after that, batted pass, interception, Anthony Nelson. You know, when those things happen, and that guy got a wingspan. See, this guy's 6'7", that being Anthony Nelson. You know, right then, you know what you have to do, Steve? And sometimes that you have to realize you almost have to, like, move your eyes, like, back to the middle of the field before you're going to dump it out to the right like you did, instead of just throwing. You think you're getting it over his hands, or look him off and to try and move him, or you have to somehow trick him and not be able to time him batting the ball. You know what I mean? I'm not saying a true pump fake, but being able to do twitch or do something so he cannot time that. Because you cannot afford to. Now, if Cam Jordan, who's he's had a pick six, I want to say one time he got against the Lions, scored a touchdown, or, if Carl Granderson or Chase Young would do that, be like, oh, what a great defensive play. So I'm sure Tampa fans are saying, oh, what a great play by Anthony Nelson. But, Spencer Rattler could not afford to do that. As of late, the beginning of the season, he was protecting the football. But if you look right now, he's kind of been the last two games a turnover machine, and you can, bottom line is you cannot do that. It's still accurate. He was 15-21, 136 yards, and that crucial interception, and giving up points. But I don't know, Hollywood. What do you think? They're gonna go with Tyler Shuck now that. And because Coach Moore said, I don't want to flip-flop and use the duo of quarterbacks to continue to play. Do you think they give Shuck the opportunity to start against the Rams? Or are they going to start with Rattler and then see and go from there? What's your take on that, Hollywood?
Well, Bobby, Rattler is 1-13 right now. So I said we ride Shuck the rest of the season.
That could be the case. No, that could very well happen. I think Spencer Rattler on his resume... Because, again, supply and demand of quarterbacks, Steve, I told you this. If he wants to make a living. Now, it doesn't mean, like, for instance, he came away with a win today. Is he the starting quarterback for the Ravens? What's his name?
Snoop.
Yeah, Huntley. Okay, didn't he lead the Ravens to a win? So I think spot play, if you look at Spencer Rattler, because you have 32 teams, can you be one of 64? Spencer Rattler has shown enough in the NFL to be an NFL quarterback. That's one thing that I know. Now, to be a franchise or the guy you're leaning on, maybe not. So I kind of agree with Hollywood. They might end up, look where we're at right now, only one win. Let's just go with Tyler Shuck the rest of the season.
Yeah, you said the coach mentioned not wanting to flip-flop. Well, we flipped today, so why flop back next game?
Yeah, and because Spencer Rattler's handling like a pro. Now obviously he'd want more than one win, but he's been able to handle adversity. And he's dealt with this before. If you remember, it all started at Chicago turning over the ball because I think he wanted to outplay Caleb Williams. It's human nature.
Yes.
You know why he wanted to do that? Because Caleb Williams took his job at Oklahoma.
Right.
But you know who did not do that? Jalen Hurts. He didn't freak out too much when Tua took his job at Alabama.
No, not too bad either. End up a Super Bowl champ.
Yeah, you got to weather the storm. You can't be all roller coaster, hot and cold. So the Spencer Rattler will be fine. The bottom line is we got to score points. All I know is it's hard to win a game with 3 points. And I said this, it'd be like a baseball score. You might see in the World Series with that Dodgers pitching 3-2 or something. Come on, the three. Speaking of pitching, man, look at that complete game by that Japanese last night. Oh, Charlie, you have to be impressed with that. no, Charlie, don't be hating now. That was impressive because the Blue Jays can hit, but not so fast.
I don't know if he was blueing or just saying blue for the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going to take a break here on The Point After. You can sound off 504-260-1870. Besides talking about Saints losing 23-3, we're also mentioning LSU deciding to move on from head coach Brian Kelly. We'll be back with more here on The Point After. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Well, with every field goal, Keesler Federal donate $1,000 to the New Orleans Women's and Children's Shelter. This year, Keesler Federal has donated $15,000. We're back here on The Point After, hanging out at the Swamp Room at 5400 Vets in Metairie, talking about the Saints' 23-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also want to mention, folks, reports are pouring in about head coach Brian Kelly. No
longer the head coach of the LSU Tigers. We'll definitely get you more on that as we get more information. But right now, we'll go back to our talk and text line. We got James up next, wanted to sound off. James, I know you got to be fired up. What you got, man?
So what's up, guys? So, Bobby, you said it, but you didn't say it. You mentioned Gen Z. Here's a statistic that lets you know right now, if we use quantum computing and AI, which is what these young kids are doing, we would have this statistic. At one point during the season, I don't know about right now, but maybe it was last week, we were last in light boxes at 69%. What does that mean? That means that we got light boxes. We don't respect the running game. The reason why we don't respect the running game, because we count on a 30-year-old, 31-year-old running back. And everybody knows this is not what you do. We had a draft this season that was the ultimate running back draft. That means every running back that you picked up early in the draft had a special talent. We picked up this kid, Devin Neal. He's okay. He does nothing. He doesn't stuff the box. AK is 31 years old, 30 whatever. You don't design the offense or defense to load the box up on the guy.
Right.
And what helps the rookie quarterback? A running back that breaks tackles. What is it? Tucker's name? He was a free agent. He'd be the best running back on this team right now for a young quarterback. That's the problem with the general manager. That's the general manager's staffing. Yeah. They're too emotional. They want to hire guys. They want to keep guys because they love them to death. This NFL stands for not for long. I don't care if AK doesn't want to get traded. He needs to go. He needs to get compensation for him. Alave is not a number one. You get a compensation for him. Nobody thinks he's the number one pick. I mean, a number one wideout. He'd be the third pick. He'd be the third wide receiver at Denver. He'd be the third wide receiver.
Yeah. And GM James, did you notice at the beginning of the game, Alave? Now, I know he's had a few concussions. There was two plays against Noyak. I mean, he's just like, okay, I'm going to get tackled. I'm just going to fall down. How about breaking a tackle? And this was like at the beginning of the first quarter. Okay, look, Tipton has a great kickoff return, 36-plus yard return. Rattler to Rasheed. Boy, Todd Bowles, they coming after Rattler. He got hit in the mouth, and Rasheed, well, that was a tough catch. He made it. Blitz situation, plus 10. And then Kamara, plus 5, is 3rd and 8. Rattler to Valet, plus 10. But I'm looking, then Rattler, that's when we got to the 33-yard line of Tampa Bay, and he ended up fumbling. You know, he gained 7 yards, but you have to know they come in ball hawking, tomahawk chop, get that ball out, and then not so fast. But if you look at Alave at the beginning of the game, there was two plays when he was going to get hit. He's going to get tackled, and Noyak, he just falls down. So I'm not saying Alave is not an NFL receiver, but to say that you can invest all this money in him as a number one, I don't know if that's the case. And now talking about the running back room, the Saints might not want to admit this, but I think Deuce and I is in agreement. The ex-player, Scott Shanley, all of us. Man, we have probably the weakest running back room in the whole NFL. Okay, just show you how many chunk or splash runs we have. I'm talking about like over 15 yards. Are we breaking tackles? Are we doing anything? Okay, coming into the game, again, this is not an opinion, that if you look where we are coming into the game, we're averaging 3.8 yards a run. Today we got 3.2 yards. Okay, Alvin Kamara, I'm an Alvin Kamara fan. But you get old. He had only 6 attempts, 3.5 average, but coming into the game, 3.6 average. All I know is all these other teams, it seems like their second or third running back is way better than what we have. And then Coach Moore wants to run the ball. Look what he did. Look at Philadelphia with Saquon and all. But, do you think we're going to have success to help out our young quarterbacks? I don't care if it's Rattler or Shug. Right now, and then we should be able to run a little bit. Our offensive line, it's all first-round draft picks. So I don't.
We didn't even get to see the rookie run today.
No. Listen, I don't think Kevin Neal, he's a cerebral, good running back, knows what he's doing. But is he truly, like, running violent? Remember, like, Pacheco came out of nowhere with the Chiefs?
Yeah.
How he's running? Do we have a Chris Ivory or Kyrie Robinson? I remember them dogs about a decade plus, a dozen years ago. They were slap running over people, breaking tackles. Now, they didn't last too long. We don't have that. And Kendrick Miller, what? Okay, he's off to a good start. Okay, you know, you do the podcast with Jeff and all. Oh, Kendrick Miller's off to a great start. Okay, what the average 4.1, 47 attempts.
We were just happy he's healthy.
Yeah, you can't help with it. He had a nice 7-yard run against the Bears, but he was hurt. But yep. You know what's the problem? Not that he got hurt on that play. Is that he was hurt when he first got here, when he got off the bus, going to training camp, and, oh, my ham. When Dennis Allen called him out, Dennis Allen was right. Everybody's against Dennis Allen. No, Kendrick Miller, he wouldn't be in the pro. And then now he gets hurt this season. No, our running back room, I'm telling you, is one of the weakest. And Alvin Kamara might get mad at that. But I'm telling you right now, we're one of the weakest running back rooms in the whole National Football League, top to bottom.
Cajun Cannon is fired up. You can sound off with him, 504-260-1870 here at the Point After. Or stop by the Swamp Room on 5400 Vets in Metairie. We'll be back with more of the Point After right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome back into the Point After. We're hanging out here at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Make sure you stop by and say hey to the Cajun Cannon. Also news today of the fact, besides a Saints loss, the LSU Tigers have decided to part ways with head coach Brian Kelly. You can check out that story and more at WWL.com. We're going to go back to our talk and text line, Cajun Cannon. And for that, the captain in Pensacola Beach is up next. Captain, I'm sure you got a much better view right now than we had in the dome today. What's going on, Captain? Cap, you there?
What's up, Cap?
All right, Captain in Pensacola, try back again. We're going to go to Eon now on the line. Eon, what you got for us today on the Point After?
Hey, Bobby. Hey, Steve. How are you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Yeah, me too. I really don't even know where to start, but I know where I want to end up. I've got like a laundry list I wrote down during the game of just not being ready to play, I don't think. Mistakes, discipline, not playing as a team, turnovers, just everything. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't get me wrong. I did not expect we would be in the playoffs or anything like that, realistically speaking. I'm like with you, Bobby, thinking like what the record could have been. But we're not improving. It doesn't seem like we're making any adjustments. It doesn't seem like we're improving. Again, is that partly on the players? Yes. But I still think this is partly coaching. I just don't see like any fire. I don't see like any, I just don't see any leadership from coach.
Well, the thing is, he's the offensive coach, and we got to play better offensively.
Yes.
I think, defensively, look at the Buccaneers. They only had 14 first downs. On third down, I would have thought, man, hell yeah, we have a great chance to win the game. They were 3 of 13, 23% on third down. They were now red zone. They were 50%, 1 of 2. It's not like Baker Mayfield burned us. I mean, he was 15 of 24, 152 yards. Now, and he got sacked three times, and Baker's mobile and all that. But it's not like he had a quarterback rating of 120 or something. It was right at 80. He had zero touchdowns, but he didn't turn over the ball. But it was just, the turnovers that came into play. So I think this game, I would put it more on our offense. I think our defense played well enough, and I was very encouraged by that goal line stand and what that happened. And then we throw a pick six, and now we're losing 7-0. But if you look at it, the first time they got the ball, and how do you respond? Now, we were moving the ball. We're on that 33-yard line. That's when Rattler fumbled. So, I was looking at, okay, White, and that's not even their main running back. I'm trying to think who's the cat that was hurt. Bucky Irving. He wasn't even playing. So I don't know. They're going by committee. But then you look at White, plus 5, plus 9. And then it was a 3rd and 15. Mayfield gets sacked by Chase Young and Justin Reed. So all of a sudden, we get the ball back. And that's when, okay, now we're moving the ball again. Rattler was sacked a couple of times, minus 11. Now I'm going to ask Coach Moore this. What do we have to lose? Is he not confident that, when you're kicking a long field goal, is he not confident in Groupie that he can make a 59-yarder? Because we punted then, and now 55 yards. Do you go for it? It's 4 yards different. But he punted in, but we backed him up. A Kroger, good punt, minus 8-yard line, but we couldn't keep them backed up when that occurred. And that's when they went on that long drive, and then we stuffed them, five straight plays on the goal line. But then we got the ball back, and that's when we had the interception by Anthony Nelson, and we're losing 7-0. There's a lot that happened in the first quarter. So I think we were ready to play. It just we weren't executing enough, to take the lead and all that and control the ebb and flow, because the fans wanted to cheer the fans that were there.
We're going to take a break here on The Point After. You can call in 504-260-1870. When we get back from the break, Jeff Palermo from the Louisiana Sports Network will join us as we break down what's going on at LSU and Brian Kelly. So stay tuned right after this, folks. We'll be back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. We're back here on The Point After at the Swamp Room on Vets in Metairie. Stop by, say hey, grab a bite to eat, as well as we've been talking about the Saints 23-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Dome today. Other big news around college football. Happy to welcome in now Louisiana Network, Sports Radio Network, Sports Director and News Director Jeff Palermo to the radio huddle now. You thought you had a day off today, Jeff, after a rough Saturday in Death Valley, but not so much. Thanks for the time, man.
Well, thanks, guys, Steve and Bobby. It's been a tough weekend of football in the state of Louisiana, and you knew something would happen today. You just didn't know how big the change would be. Last night, second half, was one of the worst halves of football in LSU football history. I mean, I don't think there's any way to sugarcoat it. To have Texas A&M, a team that you had not lost to at home since 1994, had not lost to since they became a member of the SEC. They have your old strength and conditioning coach, Brian Kelly's former defensive coordinator on the other side of the sidelines, a game that you had to come up and play your best football game of the season to keep your college football playoffs hopes alive. And you just crumbled, and you crumbled badly in the second half with fans, mainly the student section, chanting for the coach to be fired, for the place to be basically empty except for Texas A&M Aggie fans when the clock finally hit triple zeros. It was just an embarrassing performance, and it was a game that there had to be changes. Now, whether that was going to be the offensive coordinator fired, at least you knew that was potentially – but as the day unraveled, I think it became more apparent based on the calls that Scott Woolridge was getting during the day from donors and Governor Jeff Landry's involvement in this, that it was time to move on from Coach Brian Kelly.
Now, Jeff, when you look going forward, it's a different animal now, name, image, and likeness and all that, and when you look at what LSU has spent on this team this season, you know, obviously you want results. You know, we want to be like the college version of the Dodgers, you know, in the World Series. Like, well, hell yeah, we have a great chance to be national champions or to win the World Series. It's just the way it is right now. Look, LSU has spent on this team this season $18 million to retain and build a roster and roughly $20 million in salaries for Coach Kelly and his coaching staff. So you got to have results, and extremely positive, highly positive results. Then after losses at Ole Miss and then Vanderbilt, and then what happened in A&M, it appears inevitable that something has to change, and that I want you to comment on that, and it did occur today. But, you know, I'm intrigued with the buyout. Look, my understanding with Coach Kelly, he'd be owed just short of $52 million or 90% of what is remaining on his initial 10-year contract. So what's the status with that? Is it maybe a compromise? Okay, like Coach Kelly said, I'll go away. If maybe you give me this much up front, maybe not spread out how it could be. Because you look at Jimbo Fisher, Wibber's a part of that, that $75 million buyout dealing with that. You look at James Franklin, Penn State. You know, I think a lot of the fans and people who put money in the university said, I'd rather pay the players maybe than this top-end coaches. I said a lot right there, so just comment on all of that.
Well, yeah, I think one of the things that is occurring and one of the reasons why this wasn't so quick and easy is because of the buyout. If the buyout wasn't a factor, I think at 9 o'clock this morning or somewhere around that time, we would have found out that Brian Kelly would no longer be the head coach. But the buyout is tricky. The fact that the school does not have a permanent president, that was a part of it. So what I from what we're hearing is that Scott Woodward is still working with Coach Brian Kelly's agent, who is the former NFL player Trace Armstrong, on what that final buyout number will be. Those discussions will continue. I would imagine those discussions will continue for the next several weeks. Whether maybe, you know, a lot of times with these buyouts, once you get once you're hired as a coach somewhere else, then the school is not obliged to pay that certain amount of money, whatever that coach is making at their next stop. So maybe if Brian Kelly gets a media job with ESPN or whoever it may be, maybe they take a portion of the buyout, or the buyout gets chipped away or chipped down that way. So. But I think one of the reasons why today got to where we got to is because you go back to last November and Brian Kelly boldly saying that everyone needs to keep the receipts because we're going to be playing for a national championship next season. And here we are. It's not even November, and there's no chance, there is really no chance that this team could play for a championship. And there was an all buy-in. This Brian Kelly went around town to all the big investors and big donors and said, "Hey, I need your resources to build a championship roster." And they have fallen on their face. Despite when you take a step back and look at it, though, guys, they've lost to three top 10 teams. And 24 hours ago, they were actually beating Texas A&M. But the way that second half occurred, what has been kind of percolating as the season has gone on, I think the relationship between Brian Kelly and the university has been deteriorating over the course of the season. And again, so much of this now is NIL driven, and you're needing outside resources, outside dollars in order to put together a championship team. And there was no way that the big money donors were going to give to an LSU football team again next season if Brian Kelly was the head coach. So swallow the pill now, rip the Band-Aid off now, whatever phrase that you want to use, take your beating and then figure out financially how you can muster up the money to have a competitive team. And then the other thing about all this, it's ironic that LSU just played Texas A&M because, of course, the buyout there was $70-plus million for Jimbo Fisher, and everybody was like, oh, my gosh, how's Texas A&M going to recover from that? And we all know Texas A&M, and they got big donors and they got deep wallets, but look where they're at 2 years later. They're undefeated. They're 8-0. They're a team that's a national championship contender. So I think that's another reason on why you're seeing Penn State, Florida, now LSU letting go head coaches, paying big buyouts, because there's a belief that you can turn this thing around quickly, especially if you can hire the right coach.
Well, Jeff, I would get on the fans if they took this approach. What, we're not winning national championships, even though we did that under Coach Saban. We did it under Les Miles. We did it under Coach O. But, you know, it's a different animal now with name, image, and likeness. But I think it's not too much to ask for LSU's program. What, we can't be in the top 12? It's not like only four teams are going to the postseason. That, to me, right then, is that it's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. Now I could say, I never thought I'd be alive and LSU all of a sudden gets whooped by Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt. But now look at Vanderbilt, where they're at. Yeah, now the quarterback has made a difference. But to me, to not be in the top 12, and I said this earlier, that when you look at Coach Kelly, it does matter because the perception, what you do against ranked opponents. And Coach Kelly's problem is that, you know, you lose to Vanderbilt, you lose to A&M. He's now 5-11 against ranked opponents over the past 3.5 seasons. Well, you look at Coach O, the magical year they won a championship. But Bobby, that was different because name, image, and likeness. Coach O's been part of name, image, and likeness forever. Come on. I'm talking about USC days going way back. So you can't tell me nothing. All I know is Coach O against ranked teams was 21-13 in 5.5 seasons. Just to catch Coach O, Coach Kelly would have had to go on 16-3 going forward just to have that same kind of record. So I think, you know, everybody, LSU fan, you want to puff your chest out because you want to beat ranked opponents and be considered, okay, if we're not Georgia or Alabama or A&M, whoever it might be, and look how big the conference is. Well, hell yeah, we're at least in the top three. We not be the top dog, but we're in the hunt, and that being maybe one team that would always be in the playoffs because you have 12 teams going to the postseason. I think that's what fans cannot accept, and I'm on their side as far as that regard.
Well, it's going to be interesting. We're in a new era here of college football, and I think what you're seeing in the Southeastern Conference this season in all of these close games, I mean, Alabama barely getting past South Carolina last week. The Missouri-Vanderbilt game comes down to the final play. Pretty much all of these games, Kentucky nearly beating Texas last week. Texas struggling to win against Mississippi State. The SEC has turned into the NFL, Bobby. And, in the NFL, when you go 11-6, that's a really good season in the NFL, right? And I think the days of going 12-0, I think, are pretty much done. I mean, unless you got a really special team, I think it's going to be very difficult to do that. I expect A&M to lose a game, potentially two, here before it's all said and done. So I think the new 11-0 or the new 12-0 that we got accustomed to when Alabama and Georgia and those teams were, you know, winning their national titles, I think you need to bring those expectations down a little bit. I think it's now more, hey, you go 9-3, that's a really, really good season. But it's more than just wins and losses here with Brian Kelly. I just think this was this got to a point where the fan base was not buying what he was delivering anymore. And if the fan base is not going to buy what he's delivering, it's just very hard to fund a championship team. And the LSU fan base is going to be excited, most likely, about the next new coach. We'll wait and see who that guy will be, but most likely they will be, and they're going to believe that this guy, whoever it will be the one that will bring LSU another national championship. And I think that's what Scott Woodward and the LSU Board of Directors, the LSU Board of System Directors, and Governor Landry, since he's involved in that, that's what they're all hoping at this point, is that a fresh face, a new message, a new voice, and a different coaching staff will result in what we just saw from Texas A&M last week or last night, a very well-coached, determined, physically tough football game. That is not what you're getting when you watch LSU play right now.
Now, Jeff, who do you look at as maybe a future potential candidates? Who's the damn chess master or making kings is Jimmy Sexton, the agent. And you look of all who's the clients of his. And then, I don't know. People might say, well, I don't know, look at his swag and all that. I'm a Lane Kiffin fan. I know Ole Miss don't want to get rid of him. But Lane Kiffin, look what he's done at Ole Miss and the stability he's brought there. I mean, it looks like he could play the game with the younger generation. I don't know if you agree with that. You might not be a Lane Kiffin fan, but who could be a hot commodity as far as
the short list?
Yeah, the short list, yeah.
Well, Lane Kiffin was my number one choice back in 2022. I just thought, great play caller, the swag that you talk about, a coach that can relate to today's players, someone that really understands this era of college football, someone the fan base can really get around. So I still have Lane Kiffin number one on my list. Florida is obviously going to go hard for him as well. And really it comes down to Lane Kiffin saying, can I win a championship at Ole Miss? If I can't, well, could I win one at Florida or could I win one at LSU? And it's very interesting that the Florida and LSU jobs are open once again, the same time period. And both of those schools had a chance to at least talk to Lane Kiffin, but neither of them did. And now here they're basically knocking on his door, hoping that that Lane will take their cash and come to their school. But I think Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri, I think, is certainly going to be a name that's going to be talked a lot about. I think John Summerall at Tulane, I think that's a name that's going to be talked quite a bit. Now, the last time there was a coaching a vacancy, there was this feeling that, hey, LSU can't hire the coach that's an hour away. And back then it was Billy Napier at UL Lafayette. So are you going to have that same kind of feeling among some donors and so forth that, hey, LSU's not hiring a Tulane coach to be the head coach at LSU? Will you see that again? That's quite possible, but John Summerall certainly looks like a guy that can coach in the SEC. So it's just a matter of time before he finds the right spot. So I think those are three names right there, right off the top, that I think certainly are going to be in the mix if you're looking for someone that has shown that, especially when it comes to Lane and Eli. Yes, they have not won an SEC championship, but both of them have shown that they can win at a high level, run quality programs. So they fit a lot of what you're looking for. And maybe there's this belief that, hey, if you get them in the right situation, whether it's in Baton Rouge or in Gainesville, they can really take off. And so that's the big question at this point.
Jeff, you know, the bottom line is, it might be an ugly win, but are you winning or losing? The one to me who would definitely be on the hot seat, but not so much because he won, is Sarkisian at the University of Texas. Look at that. They don't like no close to no playoff team. You look how they've not lived up to expectations, but both Texas and Penn State. But you look how they beat Kentucky and beat Mississippi State. But they won. The bottom line is Sarkisian. his track record against ranked teams haven't been so good. So here's a guy, you think you have stability at University of Texas. Look at all the money there and like at A&M. Yeah. So it's always, what have you done for me lately? And then can he develop Arch and maybe what's going to come about there? Everybody wants to win, and not everybody is going to win. You know, everybody believes in their school and what's demanding about the SEC. And look how tough Mississippi State is trying to win one SEC game. But look how tough they've been playing teams this year.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right, Bobby. I think the lesson learned from LSU and Texas this season is make sure you invest in your offensive line, because to me, Steve Sarkisian is one of the best play callers in college football. And there's calls for him to give up play calling and this and that. And, well, just a lot of the same. And obviously Jill Sloan, the offensive coordinator at LSU, has been under a lot of heat this season, and for good reason. I think it's really fallen apart here. Last night was very difficult to watch. Some of the play calling that they had in last night's game. But you better invest in your offensive line, because if you have poor offensive lines, and LSU and Texas have had that, it's a coach killer. And for Brian Kelly, it certainly was. And Steve Sarkisian has taken so much heat this season for his play calling. But when your offensive line's bad, it's hard to call plays.
Jeff, appreciate the time. I know it's a hectic time, but thank you, man, for carving out a moment to join us here on the Saints Point After.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thanks again.
All right, Jeff.
You can check out Jeff's great work at WWL.com for the latest about the Brian Kelly firing at LSU. We're going to take a break here on The Point After, hanging out at the Swamp Room at 5400 Vets in Metairie. You can line up with even more after this. We're going to take a break, but first, let's pause 10 seconds, let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Can line up on the talking text line, folks, 504-260-1870. Be back with more right after this. Stay tuned for The Point After on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Welcome back into The Point After here at the Swamp Room on Vets in Metairie, hanging out after the Saints lose 23-3 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Also the big news, Brian Kelly is out as LSU's head coach. You can find the latest story at WWL.com. Meanwhile, we want to get back to our talking text line. Everybody wanted to talk to the Cajun Cannon after the Saints falling to now 1-7 on the season. Joe and Galliano, you are up next on The Point After. What you got tonight, Joe?
Well, hello there, Baba J. Joe O from Galliano here. Was going to ask about the fumble there on Rattler. As soon as I saw him cross the line of scrimmage and still palming the ball, I said, protect it. And I said, after the fumble, bench it. I wanted to know if you wanted to bench him, Baba J. Right after
No,
I think you should have been benched.
Well, the thing is... No, because he still had a little swag. If you look at it, to start the game, he hit Rashid. They were blitzing. He took a great hit, Rashid, plus 10. And then a 3rd and 8, remember, he hit Valet, plus 10. So moving the ball, we got in Tampa Bay territory. We're on the 33-yard line, and he scrambles. But you have to realize, the NFL, man, they're coming from all angles, and they are tomahawk chopping, just ball hawking. So, I don't know, you think he would learn from that, and then all of a sudden that kills the drive, obviously. But you know, we would have scored. You'd think, remember I told you, Steve, at the beginning of the game, before it was 7-0, I said, well, after that first drive, we should be winning 3-0. I'm not going to say we got to drive down to get a touchdown. But
we should have had points.
Yeah, we had points, and Groupie's going to make the kick because we got down there, and I have that kind of confidence, but... If you look at, like, Tampa Bay, when they first got the ball, it was like, okay, they had a situation because they had a false start, 3rd and 15. And then that's when Young and Chase Young and Justin Reed sacked Mayfield. And then all of a sudden, we got the ball back. And again, 3rd and 9, Rattler hits Rashid, plus 10. Then Rattler to Juwan Johnson, plus 10. Again, not no splash plays, 20 more yards. And then, we got, now this is the thing. We're moving the ball. We're getting to the 39-yard line again in Tampa Bay territory. And then 2nd and 8, Rattler gets sacked, minus 10. If some reason, you know, you can avoid the sack. Here's Rallo was sacked two times, like minus 11. You don't want those negative plays. And then, you know why? It's second and eight, but you get sacked. Now it's third and 18. Well, come on, realistically, you're not going to make it. So think about if Rattler don't get sacked right there, we definitely going for a field goal again, even if we don't make it, because instead of kicking a 59-yard field goal, it's a 49-yard field goal.
Correct.
You know, I say game of inches or yards, however you want to describe. No, all those little bitty things matter when the ebb and flow of a game. And I think Rattler, I mean, hopefully he learns from that. He's going to look at the film and look at the situation, because you need to keep the momentum, even if you're getting, like, points. Because all of a sudden, we didn't go for a 59-yard field goal. We punted, a nice 55-yard punt. They had the ball on the 8-yard line. Kroger, great punt by Kroger. You know, I think this is one of his better games punting. When I look at it overall.
Oh, there's a positive.
Yeah, no, yeah, that yes, because he's been, I don't know about our punter.
But
today he was all right. But then, you know, we couldn't keep them back up. Then before you know it, what was a fast first half? Boy, it really went flying by. I was like, man, it's already the second quarter. And, you know, it went from there, and then they were able to move the ball. I want to say it was like third and two. You very seldom see that. It was third and two. They called defensive holding on Godshaw. Well, you know what he did? He grabs the offensive lineman and holds him so the linebacker can come fill the hole. But they very seldom call that. It figures the Saints would get that call against him. But that was the drive. We end up stuffing him and goal to go. No, that was monumental. That was one of the greatest
five straight stuffs.
One of the greatest goal line stands in football history. And the Tampa Bay was like, oh, man, I don't care if y'all know we're running. We're going to punch it in, and not so fast. But then that's when we had the batted pass interception by Nelson. And after all that adventure, what was going on, and we should have the lead, you know, by field goal at least, we're losing 7-0.
Cajun County, you mentioned points. American Safety, for each point scored by the Saints this season, American Safety will donate $50 to disaster relief. American Safety, stronger than the storm and right here with you. We're taking a break here on The Point After here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, and we'll be right back. We're back here on The Point After, 5400 Vets in Metairie at the Swamp Room, hanging out here at 9 o'clock. You can stop by, say hey to the Cajun Cannon, have yourself a delicious Swamp Burger. Hits the spot. We're going to go back to our WWL talk and text line. And we got Coach in Slidell on the line here on The Point After. Coach in Slidell, what you got for us tonight?
Hey, Coach, fellas, how you doing? First thing, Bobby, I'm looking
at... Hey, what's up?
The situation, Rattler made some good throws at the beginning of the game, okay?
He
made
right.
His problem is he's looking to run the ball too quick, not tucking the ball, and it's things that's happening over and over again. When you have personnel that's getting three holding calls in the same game, we need to do something. We need to chip. We need to help somebody, get some help there. The personnel is just not up to standard. I thought the defensive line played real well today. I thought especially the goal line stand. The second
right.
house. So I think we just look to maybe start. We may have to start over it and just try to get some better personnel in here to help, because some of the guys we counting on dropping passes and it just doesn't look like the enthusiasm was there. It was there today at the beginning of the game, but I just think that we need to quit making that and look at the personnel when you do what you got to do.
Yeah, we got off to a fast start, but you have to understand, you have to continue that swag. What you got in the first quarter, okay, it didn't work out. And our defense stepped up. Rattler moving the ball, but he fumbles. Okay. And then all of a sudden, we're moving the ball again. And then Rattler takes a sack. So how can I make a positive play? Now, you might be looking to get chunk plays, but you're going to have adversity in the game. And look, what was the score at halftime? 7-3?
Yeah.
I mean, I just think when the game was closer, we have to be able to run the ball. Now, you might say, well, Bobby, what if Coach Moore thought we could not run the ball? Now, that's definitely a good point, and I said this in the pregame, that I didn't know if we can run against Tampa Bay. Oh, yeah, we're going to at least have the attempts, you know.
You 15 know, attempts.
You know, Tampa Bay, though, had almost top 10, 11th best rushing defense. they were only giving up 99 yards a game. So when you look at it, now, to me, not when you're playing catch-up, you're playing catch-up. But, again, we could have had more balance when the game was still 7-3. But this, when all said and done, that we had 15 rushing attempts, 48 yards, that's kind of like half of what they were giving up. So when I look at that, I think Coach Moore, I think this is one of his poorest games as far as calling plays and what was occurring at the beginning and not running the ball enough. And I'm going to ask him this. Now, I don't know, Saints fans, we've watched the Saints now being successful. Now, I always look at the Saints and judge them right now post-Katrina. So that's two decades, big enough sample size. So obviously we look at the heyday with Sean Payton and Drew Brees. And I want to ask Coach Moore, because different teams have different personalities, and you got Alvin Kamara, and we have a – look, we invested in offensive line. Why don't we run screen plays? Okay, we might be got spoiled and take it for granted and think like, oh, well, everybody should run screens. We were the coaching clinic with Pierre Thomas.
For sure.
When we were to run screens, now, the quarterback got to sell it, the running back has to sell it, the O-line and all that to get that done. That always slows down a pass rush. But I'm going to ask Coach Moore tomorrow, and remind me, Steve, send me a text so that because sometimes I forget.
Yeah, ask Coach Moore about the screen game.
Okay, the screen game, whether it's tight end screens, or why don't we run more screens? Now, Rashid Shaheed, now I wouldn't run those screens with Olave. He's going to fall down. He doesn't want to get hit. But Rashid, yeah, I wouldn't run a screen with him. A big receiver like Ville, or let him block, maybe on a screen. But, you know, use your imagination. Coach Moore has that, tight end screens, running back screens. It seems like that's no more in our playbook. And we took that for granted because Sean Payton and Drew, they ran that like with, you remember Pierre Thomas. Pierre Thomas is one of the greatest screen runners in NFL history.
Great vision,
now,
great patience.
In 2011, I think it was on a screen play when Dante Whitten knocked the crap out of him. Remember when he knocked him out?
Oh, yeah.
That affected that game. But it still seems like we were running screens. It was always at least plus seven or plus double digits. I'm not saying you're taking it to the house, but it seemed like it was plus seven, plus 12, 15, or whatever. So that's something. But I thought this game, the way it was, how I think we got away from the run too soon. And at the end, I understand you got to pass. That's why you have 50-51 passes, because you're so far behind and you're trying to get back in the game. But it was a long time.
It's just amazing.
That game was 7-3.
Yeah.
And we didn't have more rushing attempts.
Just amazing. Shuck came in late in the game and still had 30 passing attempts.
What? So what? If we'd have started the game, we'd have threw 90 times? No. That wouldn't have happened. But no, when you look, when Shuck came in the game, I said this. It was 3 minutes and 57 seconds in the third quarter. So
yeah,
4 minutes.
Right.
4 minutes left in the third quarter, and he threw 30 times. What?
He
ain't winning jack. That's how I'm telling you. Now, you want to be entertained, but you're not winning anything.
No, you preached it back in the Drew Brees day.
Even Drew Brees.
Less of Drew is more.
Who you think's the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
I'll still give it to Mahomes.
Or the top three? You don't want Pat Mahomes or nobody basically throwing the ball 25, 30 times in a quarter. No, you're not winning nothing.
We're here on The Point After, 5400 Vets in Metairie at the Swamp Room. We're going to take a break, be back with more, so keep it locked right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. We're back here at The Point After at the Swamp Room on Vets in Metairie. We're going to be here till 9 p.m. You can stop by and say, hey, grab yourself a burger or some wings. We are just coming off a Saints 23-3 loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Superdome. The black and gold fall to 1-7 on the season, while the Tampa Bay Buccaneers increase to 6-2 and also increase their lead in the division, with all the other teams around the NFC South losing this week. We're going to get into now what's bugging Bobby about today's game. That's brought to you by J&J Exterminators, the largest independent exterminating company. Cajun Cannon, I mean,
you know what's bugging?
I don't know what to pick out.
No, but this is the main thing.
Okay.
We got to
score?
No. Yeah, score, but we cannot turn over the ball. We're not good enough. And we got to have more of the formula. Now, the Giants had a lot to do with that when five straight possessions. We truly have to take it away and protect the football. You look, it wasn't that long ago, like I said at the beginning of the show, that we were plus five. We were like fourth in the NFL in the turnover margin. The boss said, maybe we turn in the corner, because if you do that, it's like if you have plus two or more, you win 80% of the time. Well, ever since the Giants game, not so fast.
Right.
Because you look right now, we're minus three today. So we went from plus five, so now we're minus two for the season. Well, that doesn't...
That's losing football.
Yeah, so you're not going to win. Hey, if we have that, we're going to lose to the Titans, Jets, or Dolphins,
you
whatever.
Name it, right.
Yeah. You, whoever you playing, if that happens, man, how we let the Titans beat us? Or something like
four
the
turnovers.
Jets. Oh, yeah, exactly. So, like the Bears games, four turnovers today against the Bucks, four turnovers against the Bears. Well, you're not winning. Even if you're good... you might not win.
Right.
You know, Chiefs, whoever you might be, you have that, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
But I feel like if you want to overcome those kind of things, you've got to have an offense that's able to churn out the yards and get into the end zone, and that's just not happening.
No, and we start – no, you can't – scoring offense. And I said that scoring offense and defense has been a problem. And if that doesn't get better, you know, I thought the way we structured, we have to be like 20 points or less scoring defense or 19 and a half. Because I remember winning, we were, you know, and then can we get to like three touchdowns and a field goal, 24-23? Remember I said at the beginning of the year,
right,
if we're in a shootout, we ain't winning jack. Because we might have a flukish game and we want a shootout. But if it's going back and forth, I just thought...
Scoring defense, you're going to have to be like 16 points, K-Bear.
But exactly. but I was saying, even I'm looking at OTA's training camp and all, just the way we were moving the ball as far as the production in the red zone, that, in other words, it's not going to be like 31-27 or maybe, something like that.
Right.
We could be maybe that kind of game, but that wasn't going to be... They haven't flown what we needed to do. So, I don't know, going to the Rams, and where are they at? I mean, I know they're going to get after the quarterback, whether it's Shuck or Rattler. They can rush the passer. When I looked at them, we were in Irvine, California, in training camp. And I've said this before on radio shows.
And they're enjoying a bye week, by the way, the Rams.
So they're going to be fresher, whatever. I mean, Matthew Stafford wasn't even practicing. And I was looking, they had Jimmy G and they had Stetson the Bennett. You know,
you were funny. You said Jimmy G needs to call it a career.
No, I said if we play Jimmy G, we can beat the Rams. he was terrible against our defense. And our defense was hanging against the Rams, but Matthew Stafford wasn't playing.
Yeah.
And then I looked at Davante Adams, like, whoa. A couple of times when they had Kool-Aid, the one-on-one on him, I said, not so fast. He'll have to have help. And the Puka ran one screen play, then went talk to some movie stars. He ran one screen play of about 11 yards, then he just walked off practice. Stafford wasn't even there. But then what was more discouraging was our offense against their defense. We could not run the ball. We had one positive play, I remember, against the Rams that day. We ran like a shallow cross to Rashid Shaheed, and because of his speed, he gained about 55, 60 yards. Other than that, we couldn't get two first downs in a row. So I don't know. That would be, again, a monumental upset, I think, if we would beat the Rams in L.A. From a national perspective next Sunday.
We're here at the Point After, the Saints Point After, brought to you by McDonald's. We're going to take a break, be back with more, so stay tuned right after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Folks, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations after today's game, $24,390. We're back here at the Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Want to get to some post-game audio. We heard from both quarterbacks. First up, Spencer Rattler after today's loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Kellen walked us through the conversation that he had with you on the sideline. Just mentioned what it was that he said to you when the decision for the quarterback change was made. Can you take us through that moment for you and just your response?
Yeah, I mean, we came out of the half, didn't have a great drive. Kept getting backed up. You know, just really couldn't catch a rhythm. And, you know, he said, hey, we're going to go with Tyler, get a little spark, see what's going to happen. And, you know, it's part of the game. You know, I understand you can't control everything, but, you know, hey, I'm going to be a great teammate and respond the right way. You know, be a pro about it and help in any way I can.
What do you feel like the turnovers the last 2 weeks have been?
Yeah, I mean, you know, moving the ball great the first drive. Great opportunity in the rush lane. You know, try to make a little juke move and just try to tuck it away too late. And, you know, had a great punch out. So got to protect the ball better when I'm running and make sure it's tight. And then, you know, the backed up one off the play action keeper. That's unfortunate. You know, he got his hand on it. It was a good play by him. Try to move on after that one. That was tough, but you know, thought we were going to respond and you know, try to bounce back from that.
What do you think overall has been the main theme of the turnover struggles for you the last couple of weeks?
Last 2 weeks, you know, I think last week I started pressing. I don't feel like I pressed at all this game. I think got careless with keeping it high and tight on that first drive on the run. Would have had a great run there, and then I think the tip pick was unfortunate. So, yeah.
Do you feel like you put any pressure on yourself given what happened in Chicago heading into
the fall? No. I knew I wanted to play a cleaner game. Wasn't happy with the fumble, obviously, the first drive, but try to respond in the right way. I think as a group, we just, you know, starts with me, we got to just execute better, you know, execute better, see things better. Credit to their defense, they did a lot of great things. Knew they were going to give us a lot of different looks, which they did. But no, I don't feel like I put too much pressure on myself. I just, you know, had to control those moments and tuck the ball tighter, literally.
And for the, you know, for the your guys' drives across midfield, like, what are you seeing kind of, that's been like a season-long thing of not being able to convert maybe the way you guys want to? Was there anything you were seeing today specifically with it?
Yeah, I mean, we were converting on third down well. You know, our numbers were okay in the first half. You know, they brought some good pressures. We had the right answers versus a good amount of them. You know, could have got the ball out maybe quicker on some checkdowns when we crossed that 50-yard line. We knew that was a high-pressure area. You know, a couple missed ops, but got to watch the tape and see what happened when we crossed the 50, because it seems like we couldn't really get anything going once we passed that 50. So we got to watch the tape, figure that out.
What's next? Like, how do you handle this week now?
I mean, I just go at it the same way. You know, it's part of the game. I've been through adversity before. I'm going to be a good teammate, have good body language, still be a leader. You know, so I just got to show up to work, keep a smile on my face, keep working. And, you know, you can only control what you can. I've said that before. So I'm going to control what I can and keep attacking the same way.
Were you surprised at the decision?
A little bit. But, you know, hey, no bad feelings at all with Kellen. You know, that's my guy. He's awesome. He's been awesome all year. And, you know, we haven't really gotten anything going on offense, you know, the last 2 weeks. So, you know, hey, understood. Just got to show back up and figure out what we need to get better at.
So disappointing but not surprising, you'd say?
A little bit of both. You know, definitely not happy with the turnovers. You know, you're not happy with that. Not scoring points offensively the whole game. You're not happy with that. You know, but hey, it is what it is. Charge it to the game, move on. That's all you can do.
That was Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler there, Cajun Cannon. Before we get to Tyler Shuck, I know you wanted to make a comment.
Well, you know, the quarterback got to protect the football. If you don't have the turnovers like you had against the Bears, and today he's still the quarterback. One thing what was positive, before the Bears game and then this last game, he was protecting the football. You know, 4 turnovers total, and then the last 2 games, not so much. But you know who didn't help him out either in the third quarter? And a guy we're counting on, Trevor Penning. 2 holding penalties on the same drive. I'm almost sure. I want to say, you know, we were backed up, you know, and he got those holding penalties. So, you know, when I look at Trevor Penning, And I'd be on him. It's like, come on, you're killing the team right there. And when you having holding penalties, I mean, a lot of times you look at your hand placement, and you really have to hold at times for them to want to call it. You know, it's very seldom, you know, how they, oh, you can call holding on every play. You know how you say that? But yep. It depends where your hands and all are and how are you grasping. Or you could see that someone's trying to get past you. And, yeah, you're holding them.
Right.
You cannot do that. So, no, I think Trevor Penning kind of let down Spencer Rattler also at the beginning of that third quarter.
That was Spencer Rattler. Now let's hear from the rookie, Tyler Shugg.
What'd you think for the first time?
I mean, ultimately, we didn't score enough points and, you know, didn't get the job done. So I was proud of how those guys battled. But ultimately, we just got to go back to the drawing board, keep getting better.
When you get an opportunity like that in the second half of the game, but, you know, don't have practice and everything like that leading up, just kind of what's the division there for a young quarterback stepping into a role like that? Like
yeah, I mean, I felt prepared. I think, you know, the whole quarterback room, the offense, I think we, you know, we're preparing well. I got to continue to increase that. But for me, I was just going out there and doing everything I can and just having fun with it. But, you know, going to continue to look at what we did wrong, what we did well, try and improve on those and go from there.
What was the conversation to you when, you know, Kelvin said that he turned to you for a spark for the offense? What does that mean to you?
I was just ready to go in there and try and do my job and go out there and play. You know, it was awesome to get in there and playing. But ultimately, we're going to continue to get better and just go from there.
Did you know coming out after halftime that was a possibility, or was it kind of in that moment?
I was just in the moment, yeah. Just in the moment. Just told me to get ready to go. That was it. Preparing each week and in my head and from every game since, you know, I was ready to go and got to continue to be ready. No nerves. I think, you know, preparation wise, body wise, was feeling good. So just was going out there and doing everything I can. Like I said, we'll continue to kind of get in the groove, get better. But I think my earpiece wasn't really working on the first drive as much either, so I had to switch helmets immediately, which was not ideal, but we got it fixed.
Were there things you liked or didn't like about how you played? Like, do you have any self-evaluation at this point?
Not yet. I mean, obviously got to watch the game to completely look at everything, but at the end of the day, we didn't score enough points, so it sucks. We'll look at it, and especially myself, and see how I can get better, and then we'll continue to grow as an offensive unit to try and get the job done. Because ultimately, the defense, they played really well. They made some huge stops. You know, they're bringing the juice. We just got to go out there and execute, protect the ball. That's really on us.
Did you have the door earpiece? Is that why the timeout was called on that?
No, that was like a wristband issue with it's like a Taysom has a different wristband, so it was just like a weird communication thing with that. So it was kind of a fluke deal, I guess.
That was rookie Tyler Shugg after the black and gold fell 23-3 to Tampa Bay.
Well, our top two receivers sure the hell didn't help him when.
No, that was a really Shugg awkward interception, man.
Well, I mean, I look at it. I wrote Shugg to Rashid, come on, catch the ball. Shugg to Rashid plus 7. I'm looking 3rd and 3, Shugg to Olave. Okay, you're just going to let Antoine Winfield come strip the ball from you? Be aggressive. No, so it doesn't matter who's the quarterback. It doesn't matter whether it's Rattler or Shugg. Are our receivers really helping out who's the quarterback? I mean, come on.
Taking a break here on The Point After. Going to wrap things up right after this. Stay tuned on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network, folks. Back here closing up shop on The Point After at the Swamp Room in Metairie. Let's pause 10 seconds first. Let stations identify themselves on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Cajun Cannon, another tough loss for the black and gold today. They fall to 1-7 after losing 23-3 to Tampa Bay. Next week, tough opponent in the L.A. Rams squad that's going to be rested, and it'll be in their house.
Well, it'll be getting national attention if we upset the Rams. I think we'll be 1-8, but try to be optimistic.
Cajun Cannon, say goodnight to the Hoodats out there.
All right, bon nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Hoodat, go Saints!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays, too!
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them. And designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.